But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory. Hello, just so happy that you're able to join us again today. So now we're going to get into part two of Psalm 91. This is the conclusion of our little class on Psalm 91. Let me just go ahead and pray so we can get going here. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for being with us today and always. I thank you for your angels, that you're surrounding us, that you send angels to minister to us, that you bring such clarity by your Holy Spirit to the scriptures, that our eyes are going to be open today to see things in your word that we've not seen before, and that you give us a heart of understanding and knowledge so that we're able to glean so much from this time in your word that we could have before. Lord, we just ask that you bless this time, bless it with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to start off by reading Psalm 91 again from the beginning. This is in the King James Version. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, before we get into the final piece, which the final piece, the verses we're covering today, is verse 14, 15, and 16, three verses, I want to kind of point something out to you and discuss this part of it, which is really important. I don't know if you've noticed that this whole chapter sounds like there's a dialogue happening here. Are you catching that? This is not one person talking. We go back to the beginning and it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then it says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." So it sounds like there's someone here that's talking to someone else. There's actually two people here. Or someone is making a general statement to mankind, and then they're saying, you know, "I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress." Do you see that? So then the question comes, well, who's speaking? Who wrote Psalm 91? Now this is, there's a debate that it's either Moses or it's David, because I don't know if you know this, but not every psalm is written by David. Some of them are also written by the sons of Korah. So they're saying that Psalm 91 is either Moses or David. For me, it's clearly Moses. And I'm going to point out to you why I believe this is Moses. Well, first of all, I don't think you can actually miss the whole reference of that scripture I shared with you on the angel of the Lord, that I went and I took the scripture from Deuteronomy when the angel of the Lord appeared in the burning bush to Moses. So we know that Moses has had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. You know, where it's talking that he shall cover you with his feathers and under his wings you shall take refuge. We know that Moses had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. We also know that in verse 7, where it says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, that this just sounds so much like what happened to the Israelites in Egypt. You know, that destruction was right there, but it never came near them. So to me, that again sounds like something that Moses lived through. The other thing is that it is known that Psalm 90, which is the chapter before this one, was written by Moses. And if you go back and you read Psalm 90, what you're going to notice is that Moses is calling out to God in Psalm 90. Then he goes into Psalm 91. So if you go from Psalm 90 to Psalm 91, he's calling out to God, and then he's addressing the congregation, or you and me, in 91. He's calling out to God in 90, then he's addressing the congregation in 91, and then right at the end, which is the part we're going to cover right now, is God answering what his call for help then, in other words. So this whole Psalm 91, we get the feeling that there's actually three people here, three persons are involved. It's when you read it as Moses speaking to you, and then he's saying, you know, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. So he's telling you, this is where I was getting my strength from all of these years. Okay? So he's admonishing us to go ahead and trust God and get and abide in the Lord. And then the last portion now, which is verse 14, 15, and 16, is actually God speaking, right? Which is beautiful. So if this was the New Testament, 14, 15, and 16 would be the red letters. Okay? So that, I'm just saying that so you have a better picture. If you're wondering why it keeps changing tenses, that's because there's actually three different persons present in this. If you read it again, you will see it clearly. It's Moses speaking to you, and then the end is God responding. So now that we know that the end is God responding, this is the portion that I'm actually going to get into right now. Okay, so let's read it again. It's verse 14, 15, and 16. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. How beautiful is that? So the question is, well, who is God speaking to, right? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. You know, the Bible says that the angels hearken unto the voice of the Lord. They follow his command. Jesus is actually the commander of heaven's armies. He is the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Sabaoth, right? So this could be a charge that God is giving to the angels now, right? So he's literally sending them out to protect you when you're feeling overwhelmed or you are surrounded, he's giving this charge to the angels to protect you, right? So he's saying how the protection comes. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. It is so interesting that Moses said, those who abide under the shadow of the Almighty, these are the ones who will actually receive this protection. But God is saying, because he has set his love upon me, that's actually God's reason, one of the reasons. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. So there are two reasons that God is giving for his protecting you. One, because you love him. And two, because you know him. Hallelujah. If you really think about it, it would be very difficult for you to abide under the shadow of the Almighty if you didn't love God. Nobody wants to live with someone or in a place that they don't love. You wouldn't want to go there every day. You wouldn't want to have that intimacy with the Lord if you didn't love the Lord. So the Lord is saying, because you love me, this is why I'm going to deliver you from your enemy or from the terror of night or the pestilence that are there or the fowler that is setting the snare. I'm doing it because you love me. And the truth is, the reason why we abide with God is because we love him. Because we love him. I will set him on high. Well, how high are we? We know that the demons and the evil spirits are in the second heaven. But we as children of God, when we come into a relationship with the Lord, we are actually in the third heavens, right? We are seated in heavenly places. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are high. We are high above all the enemies and what's going on in our lives. And God is saying that he has brought us into this place of being high because we know his name, right? I've set him on high because he has known my name. No, this word no is from the Strong's Concordance 3045. It is yada. This is actually intimate knowledge of God. You know, it's like the marriage knowing in the Bible where it says Adam knew Eve. It meant that they had intimacy together. This is the same kind of intimacy. It's a intimate knowledge of who God is. And he's saying, because we have that kind of relationship with each other, I am putting you high above all your enemies because you know me. You know my name. It's not a fleeting kind of a I know of God. It's a knowing that comes from intimately spending time with the Lord in prayer, in meditating on his word, in just sitting and being still in solitude in the presence of the Lord. In verse 15, it says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. So the Lord is saying that whatever you're going through, even when we don't feel like it, God is always with us in it. He is always there, right? Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. You are never out of God's sight. Regardless of what's going on, He is with you in trouble all the time. He's in it with you. He said, I will be with him in trouble. He is in the midst of it. But not only is he in it with you, then it says, I will deliver him and honor him. So he's in it with you, and then he delivers you out of it. He takes you out of it. And then he honors you. Isn't that something else? Not only is he delivering you, but he's honoring you as a part of the deliverance, right? This word honor is Strong's Concordance 3513. It's kabod. It means to be heavy, weighty. It's a weighty glory. You're respected. God is boasting on you, and you're seen as distinguished. And I just see this as, you know, if you think of the Israelites and Moses and what they have gone through, even if initially no one took Moses seriously because he had a stutter, he was stammering, right? With all that they had gone through together and how God had delivered them by the hand of Moses, they had to honor him in the end. It was very obvious that God was with him. There was no way he was going to be able to do any of that if the Lord was not there. So God elevated him. He was honored out of that deliverance. This was a byproduct, a fruit of the deliverance, was honor on his name and who he is as a man of God. And so God is saying the same thing to you right now, is that the deliverance that is coming is not just the deliverance. There's going to be honor given to you from that deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so now the last portion, it says, verse 16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wow. Again, it's very interesting that in Psalm 90, I want to say verse 7, Moses had said that the lifespan of a man is 75, and you should count yourself blessed if you get 80 years out of life. I'm paraphrasing here. But then he said that in 90, but here it is in 91. God is responding and saying, no, I'm going to give you long life. Okay, this is a part of it. Long life. I'm going to give you a life that is long and satisfying. All right. And Moses died at 120 years old. Long life he was given, and show him my salvation. This word salvation, it's Yeshua. It's the deliverance that is coming to you from the Lord. It is God giving you victory over your enemies and in all things. You are being saved from all things that are coming against you that are not of the Lord, right? And not only that, but salvation in Christ Jesus. Because we know everyone in the Old Testament died believing in the promise of a Messiah that was coming. So he says, this is a part of the covenant I have with you. Because you love me and because you've known me, I'm also going to show you salvation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that is it. That I hope that helps to show you the dialogue of Moses speaking to us, and then the Lord coming in and giving this charge to his angels to protect us because we love him and because we know him. We know him intimately. This is just so beautiful. So let me pray now to usher us out of here. Lord, what beautiful words you have given us today. Such a fantastic psalm. It is so powerful. It gives us such comfort and peace, Lord. Your word, it is beautiful, God. And I thank you that your word is true. You said, when it goes out, it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish everything that it was sent forth to do. So we understand that when we speak this into the atmosphere, that it activates in the realm of the spirit your angels to go forth as you commanded them at the end and protect us. We know that our portion of this is to love you, is to continue to know you more. And we just ask that you would reveal more of yourself to us each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for drawing us close to you. And we commit in our hearts to abide under your shadow, in your dwelling place, to be married to you. For you are the bridegroom and we are the bride. We are the body of Christ, your body being made ready for your second coming, God. And we just thank you for this comfort and the peace that comes from this scripture. We thank you for protecting us in these times ahead and in our everyday lives where we are, God, that it doesn't matter what is out there, seen or unseen, whether we know or we don't know, it doesn't matter. Our salvation is in you, our deliverance comes from you, and we're covered, and you are omniscient. You're all knowing. You know everything. So we don't need to know. We do not need to worry about anything, God. We thank you for this. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so, you know, if you're wondering, well, what is the prayer? Honestly, I think the best way to handle Psalm 91 is just to speak the scripture directly as it is in the atmosphere. That's it. Just speak it straight from the word into the atmosphere. If you were going to learn any scripture in the Bible, I would say focus on memorizing this one from start to finish. That would be wonderful. So you can say it at any portion, any time in life where you feel like you need this one. Okay, check the link in the description box for a study guide, or if you want to go ahead and sign up for our free discipleship school. We disciple in Christianity, all things Christianity. It's free. There's no cost to you for any of that. And so next week we will continue with another great chapter for prayer. I think I'm going to do Psalm 24 next week. All right. Have an amazing week. Go with God. Bye.